Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about some things to consider when trying to build a spiritual marriage. Also, if you'd like to contact us, email us at 4@fourthstream.com. Use the number 4.
And if you are interested in the marriage and family workshop that we're doing here, you can find it at mystronghome.com, and it's absolutely free to you. You know, building a strong family necessitates building a spiritual marriage. And that's what we'd like to talk a little bit about today. There are several areas to highlight. And again, these are on worksheets. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot of checklists on them. Desire is one thing. We have to consider the issue of desire, whether you have the want to.
Right.
And then the delivery of that. And I just was discussing this with a couple the other night. And the gal said, I don't even know what it's like. I don't even know what it means to be cherished. And I thought, you know, these are why these fundamental things are in there. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you and I have worked out, cherishing and respecting. We're still working on it, continuing to see how that works. Also, a deep understanding of the value of relationships, all of the relationships in a family and around a family. Mm-hmm. And then the idea of oneness. So those are the four topics we're going to touch on today about building a spiritual marriage, because that happens at the core. It's just not the external things. It's the stuff that happens at the core.
Yeah, I think one of the things you just mentioned that's key is humility. First of all, you have to desire to have that kind of a home. And then secondly, you have to know that your spouse may stumble over the same issue many times. So, you know, they just may need a lot of support, and you may need a lot of support. You may discover that this thing that all of a sudden you're working on, you think, okay, I won't ever do that again, or I won't have that kind of, you know, deep need or that feeling, and all of a sudden you realize I'm struggling with it again. So that's just number one going into a new marriage, that you are going to have things like that that aren't just once and done.
Well, even a marriage that's been around for a while, I love this quote, but to find security, we must reciprocate vulnerability, and the end, we must find trust. And I wrote that. I look at some things I wrote sometimes and I think, well, that's so true.
Who
because
wrote that?
Well, security is such a big deal for both men and women, and when we experience that, well, that unleashes our desire to have a spiritual marriage. So, you know, we have to be firing on all cylinders, and we need both a husband and wife to do that in order to set the tone for a family.
Another thing that we need is the commitment to pursue a godly and growing and satisfying physical relationship. And that's why I kind of highlighted growing, because when you start out, you just think, oh, well, there we go. It's just time, and this will be easy, and it will, you know, our physical relationship was, well, this just, there it is.
Boom.
And it's not like that. You know, it may even start out satisfying, but it will end up even more satisfying. And that's your goal, is if it doesn't start out completely satisfying, working through that together, talking. But that's hard to do because you have to be vulnerable.
Well, and that's all tied into the oneness that we want to experience together. And it also, you know, the physical part of it is totally tied into our love languages and the idea that we would learn about each other's, not only each other's physical needs, but also the love languages that we have, because we're often very different than each other. You know, whether it's physical touch or encouraging words or whatever it might be, all of that relates to fueling desire, not just for one another, but a desire to succeed in a true fundamental way in life.
Yeah, this topic has been around for a while, but if it's new to you, it's acts of service, words of affirmation, receiving gifts, physical touch, and quality time. Gary Chapman has a book called The Five Love Languages. Pick it up if you want. It's also, he has one on marriage and for kids and for the workplace. So it's just kind of an interesting topic when you start realizing that how I want to talk to you is maybe not how you best hear someone.
Nothing kills desire more than having an unwillingness to learn about and live a life of forgiveness together. And forgiveness is so key in all human relationships, but obviously so important between a husband and a wife, and then how that relates to family members. Because without forgiveness, you know, desire just gets killed all the time. And, you know, who's going to be the first one to step forward and say, well, I'm not going to take into account a wrong suffered. I mean, think about that. That's out of 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we hear it all the time, but that is at the core of what allows us to have the kind of desire to be a spiritual man or a spiritual woman.
And sometimes we don't want to do that because we feel like it makes us so vulnerable, and that's pretty scary. And one of the reasons it's so important to be careful when your spouse is opening him or herself is because you know what it's like when you're being vulnerable. And so forgiveness kind of does that to you. You feel like, if I forgive, then I'm opening myself up to being... I can protect myself better if I don't forgive. That's how we feel, but it's not accurate.
Well, each of these principles require selfless love. And selfless love is a rare treasure, and it's why people struggle with desire, particularly just below the attainment desire or the things that you can see. What about the heart things? Because, you know, as you get older and as you age, it's the heart things that really make the world go round.
Right. And within the heart things are the idea of cherishing and respecting. That you just can't have a solid marriage without doing those two things for each other, because they are innate needs in men and women. And you can call them different things, that, you know, male ego is another word for respect. But the truth is, there are deep needs and we can't ignore them.
Well, from Ephesians 5, we learn that the family is a partnership and it's an opportunity for nurturers and protectors to work together. Now, do you consider it demeaning that I perceive myself and my role as a protector?
No.
Any more than I look at you as a nurturer and think that that demeans me at all for my role, because I count on you to be a nurturer, and you count on me to have a different view of life.
I think that's the important distinction, though. It's not just that it doesn't bother me to call you a protector. It doesn't bother me because you give me so much in return in the things that I'm good at and the things that I have deep-seated abilities.
Right. So understanding a partnership is deeply fulfilling, and it's evidenced by several things: an increasing knowledge of what respect and being cherished mean for men and women. And as you learn more about that, that deepens your spirituality.
One of the things I ran into was, years ago, it was often talked about as the male ego. We didn't really talk about respect and cherish. Respect was often talked about as the male ego. And I can remember talking to someone, and she, you know, it was in all the magazines, and she said, if I have to hear about the male ego one more time, I'll just scream. And we ended up having a conversation because I said, don't you want... You want the romance, you want him to be communicative, you want these different things. And the truth is, you both have to give the other person what they need in order to get what you need.
Well, and part of giving each other what we need is a recognition and an acknowledgement of the core strengths that each one of us has. So that goes back to those words of life that we can give to each other, but you have to see something in the other person and then move it to the point of articulation in order to strengthen yourself in this whole area of cherishing and respecting.
Yeah, I think this is really important because it seems like the differences in conflicts can take up so much of the available oxygen in your home.
Yes.
And you have to infuse more oxygen in by doing the right things, you know, by speaking and appreciating each other's strengths.
Well, that I watch that in our culture and I watch that in politics right now, and I think, you know, it is truly sucking so much of the energy and the oxygen. Well, it's no different when it comes to our human relationship and marriage. If the right things are accentuated, it's going to create oxygen.
Well, it does. And it takes away that fear, because underneath, you know, right now in politics or forever in politics, there's always this fear that's going on that's being encouraged. And when someone says encouraging words, it brings in the oxygen that seems to kill that fear.
Well, with that is an understanding of my own strengths and what I bring to our home. Because you got to feel good about yourself and see who you are and what you do and why that has value to your family. And then you put that together with a mutual reliance upon our partner's role in the relationship and the family. That's how it works together. And that's why I think God kind of designed it for there to be two parents.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we started out, you tended to micromanage because you thought your job was to sort of manage the home, which meant manage me. And that was a rub.
It was a big rub. Let's be honest.
And I withheld communication. So, you know, those two things, we didn't have the foggiest idea how to appreciate and utilize each other's strengths. We were just noticing the weakness of that, not the strength of it.
So we're talking about building a spiritual marriage. If you'd like to find out more about this particular worksheet and this conversation, go to mystronghome.com, and it's on page 61, easy to find, and there's videos in there and all kinds of stuff, so it's all available to you. So as we talk about building that strong marriage, we've discussed desire, we've discussed cherishing and respecting. Now I want to talk a little bit about value, because a spiritual home includes a deep understanding of relationships. There's a brotherhood, sisterhood relationship that transcends, husband and wife relationship.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talk about is out of 1 Peter 3:7. The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. In the new life of God's grace, you're equals. So treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground.
Well, that's just a beautiful picture. You know, in our culture with egalitarianism and just the condition of mankind, we're all grasping for things that God has already given us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter is trying to explain here. You know, working together for the glory of God and extending that vision to our children is of high value, and appreciating and relying upon one another's gifts as well as the rest of the family is of huge value in building a strong family. And acceptance of our weaknesses, our limitations, our strengths, and our potential, that's all part of us working together and placing value in our home.
Mm-hmm.
So that our personal value doesn't eclipse that.
Yes. You're a teacher. I'm a discerner. And learning how to enjoy those strengths and use them, that was a new thing for us to figure out.
I want to talk a little bit as we complete today on the issue of oneness. We bump into it here and there throughout this these many conversations that we have. And I ask a number of questions. Does our companionship reflect peace and love and hope?
Or stern faces.
Right. unwelcome touch and all those different things. But if our companionship has peace and love and hope, we can know that we are on the road to having a spiritual marriage. Also, am I submitted to a life of love and respect? Am I submitted to the fact that I'm really commanded by God to cherish you, and you're commanded by God to respect me?
Yeah, and it's easy to say, well, I'll respect you when you deserve it. But that's not how God does it. It's not what he requires.
Well, and that leads, related to oneness, the whole idea of, are we inviting the power of God into the middle of our relationship as well as our family? Do we read God's word together? And that might not look like a huge, big Bible study kind of thing, but it's just, you know, us being in God's word and then sharing that with each other and making that a part of our family
life. This was really important to me at a time when one of our sons, you know, we had two or three kids, but one of them, the youngest, was 6 months and he didn't nap at all. And it was like, I couldn't get anything done and there's no way I could figure out how to spend any time in the word. And you were so good at that point to tell me what you were looking at and what you were reading. And it was one of those things where I felt like, oh, this is part of what being washed in the word is just, it's around me. It helps me when I can't do it myself.
Well, you put that together with these last two. Do we pray together and reflect upon life? And do we spend time with other spiritually motivated couples and friends? All a huge part of oneness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, friends are really important, I think, when you're around people. If you've learned to be friends as a couple, and then when you're with other couples who are also friends, it's just super encouraging to go through life with someone.
Building a Spiritual Marriage, it's on page 61 at mystronghome.com. Again, this is absolutely free to you because we want you to have the strongest home you can possibly have.
Right, and if you want to contact us at 4@fourthstream.com.
Fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Fourthstream.com and click on that radio button, my friend.
Together, we're finding hope at Fourthstream.com.